This is something that what I'm going to share with y'all is something that I feel like God put on my heart about 2 months ago to share with our team back in Ecuador, and that I want to share with y'all because it's something that I recognize that I have a need for in my relationship with Jesus, and I don't think I'm alone in this, and that is contentment in Jesus. There's this old hymn that we used to sing when I was a kid. It is well. You know it? Yeah. Do you know the story behind it? Yeah. I don't know all of the details, but it's basically this guy gets a telegraph, back when they did telegraphs, that his ship that his child and his wife were in had gone down. And then he gets another telegraph. I'm going to cry talking about this. Gets another telegraph that there were no survivors. They didn't make it. And he writes this powerful song. And the first verse goes, I'm not going to sing it, but the first verse says something like this, if I don't mess it up. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when everything's great, when there's peace, when everything's going the way that I expect it to, that I want it to. And then it says, when sorrows like sea billows roll, when nothing is going the way I expected, when there's fear, when there's sadness. And then he says, whatever my lot, whatever's going on, whatever my circumstances, thou, you God, have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And I'm imagining this guy like losing his family and then looking to God and saying, you know what? You're enough. Whatever my circumstances are, it's well with my soul. Because it's things are right between me and you, Jesus. That's a hard thing to say. I don't know that I could write that song in those circumstances. But this thing that I see in myself, and as a pastor as well, this thing that I see in the people around me a lot of times is that we lack contentment. And I don't just mean materially. I mean, our eyes are not fixed a lot of times on Jesus. And we're not satisfied. We're not thankful. And yet, when we look in Scripture, that's exactly what Jesus wants. I love, and I was so glad that last little chorus of that song that we sang, because I think that it's probably one of my favorite songs. Lord, I need you. My one defense, every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh Lord, how I need you. And that never goes away. Like, the longer that I've walked with Jesus, the more that I recognize that I need him. But there are still moments, a lot of moments in my life where I get sidetracked and I think that what I really need is something else. Jesus and something else. And so I want to share one of those basic passages that Pastor Kyle talked about really briefly. I don't know if you could put, I don't even care about the translation, but Philippians 4, 10 through 14, would it be possible to stick that up on the screen? I think I have New American Standard here, but I'm not super picky. I'll just read whatever you got. But as we look at this, I want to talk about this passage. It's a passage that maybe out of any other scripture in the whole Bible that gets taken out of context. So I'm going to put it into the right context. But it's a passage really about contentment. And what's going on in this is that the Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippians, and he's thanking them for supporting him in his mission work, in his ministry, as he goes out. And he kind of starts and ends with that. But as he's saying this, what he's saying is like, look, I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining about my circumstances before you helped. I'm glad that you helped, but I've learned to be content. This is what it says. I was like, perfect timing. But I rejoice, this is Paul talking to the Philippians, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you've revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Next verse. Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content. And this is the key to all of this. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Did you hear that? I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. And then he goes on. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And here's that basic verse. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And then in verse 14, he says, nevertheless, you've done well to share with me in my affliction. So Paul is thanking them, that the context of what's going on, Paul is thanking this church in Philippi for their support, but he's also talking about something that God has taught him and that he's learned in the middle of this. So three things that I want us to look at real quick. And the first question is just, am I content? Am I content in Jesus? Am I satisfied in Jesus? Am I thankful to Jesus? Or do I feel like something's missing? Do I feel like Jesus is really enough for me? Do I feel like what he's done, what he provides is enough for me? Or am I trying to find satisfaction in someone, in something else? One more verse. You don't even have to, if you can stick it up there, that's great. If not, I'm just going to read it. But I think it gives the why. Why should we, as sons and daughters of God, be satisfied and content in him? I should have actually told you the verse, right? Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. I'm going to just go ahead and read it. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, and so here's the thing, before I read this, free from the love of money, content with what you have, and then there's a promise. This is the basis. This is the why behind why we should be content. Because he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? So here's the idea. God doesn't just call us to be content because he's tired of hearing us complain about things. God calls us to be content in him because he's made us some promises. And he keeps his promises, always. So if his promise is that he's never going to abandon us, leave us, or forsake us, the extension of that in me should be that I say, I never have to worry about the presence of God abandoning me. God is, if I am a child of God, God is always present with me. I may not always feel that way, but he is always present with me. He's promised it. That's how I know. And if he's promised me that he's always going to be with me, if he's promised here that he's going to be my helper, then I'm able to be content if I believe that he knows what I need. If he cares about what I need and he's capable to provide it, then I have no reason not to be content because he's made this promise and he's made a lot of other promises to us in Scripture. So this is the big thing. Why should we be content? Because God has promised that he's never going to abandon us. If he takes care of the flowers of the field, if he takes care of the birds of the air, and he cares so much more about us, then why should I not be content with what he's promised? Why am I looking for satisfaction in so many other things when Jesus has said he's enough? And so that's the first question that I would ask. Are we content in Jesus? And the other thing, and this is, you know, a lot of times in Scripture when you read, there's like one word that you can skip over, but it changes everything. And so what he says, if we go back to Philippians, is I have learned to be content. This is not something that's automatic. I'm not automatically going to be content in Jesus. I have to learn. It's a choice that has to be made in my life. How can I learn to be content in Jesus? I don't really think this is complicated. A lot of times we want to hear something new or something exciting, and the thing we really need to hear is those basic verses. We need God to speak basic truth to us because sometimes we have truth up here, but it hasn't really sunk in to become something that we believe. Sometimes it's not more knowledge that we need. We can have, I know people with their heads full of knowledge, but do I believe? Do I trust? Do I obey God in those things? And so, what do I need to do to be content in Jesus? I think one of the things, and it's really, really simple, I need to learn to be thankful. I need to learn when I'm looking at life and the things that happen to me and what I have to be thankful to God and to the people around me. So this is something that I've found. The times when I am nearest to God, when I'm most conscious, like I said, he's always with us, but we're not always so conscious of his presence. The times that I've found that I'm the most conscious of God's presence is when I am thanking him, when I am recognizing the things that he's doing, and I'm not going, God, why did you allow me to be robbed? I'm going, God, thank you. You saved my life by putting one little simple thought in my head. I believe he saved my life. You may have saved the lives of my children. Thank you. Not why did this happen to me? Thank you for doing that. Thank you. You know, like we want to focus on what we don't have materially. Thank you for what I have. And we get used to it. We get accustomed. We get complacent. But we need to be people that learn to thank God for who he is to us. Not just what he does, but who he is to us. And also thanking people. You know, like if Pastor Kyle says something that God uses to change your life and to draw you closer to Jesus, like, go and tell him thank you. Thank the people around you. Like, if you're still living at home with your parents, thank them for the ways that they're taking care of you. Like, if we were people that were grateful and that expressed that gratefulness, it's contagious. Not only do we learn to be content, but the people around us are encouraged as well. It's not a hard thing to do, but we don't do it. What if we were to learn to be thankful people and thus to become content people? And the other thing, I've kind of already mentioned, it's not even a difficult thing to do. We just, a lot of times, don't do it. We need to know what God has promised. We need to know what God has said and choose to believe it even in difficult moments. You know, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when everything's great, it's easy to have peace. It's easy to be content because I have what I want. Of course I'm content. Am I content when things are not going my way? And God has given us his word. He has promised things to us that we do not deserve. And we need to know what he said. And in those moments that we're most challenged, that our circumstances are most difficult, we need to hold fast to him and the things that he's promised to us. Well, I feel alone. Man, I feel alone a lot. I can be in a room full of people and feel alone. Does anybody know what that feels like? But I'm not. And I can choose to trust in what he's promised. I can have moments where I wonder how I'm going to put food on the table or how I'm going to pay a bill. But God's promised that he's going to provide for his people. I can hold on to that. But it's something I have to learn to do. It's something I have to choose to do. Instead of letting my, I don't know if anybody else does this or if it's just me, instead of letting my thoughts run away and I start thinking about all of these things that are probably not even going to happen, the very simple decision to focus on what he's said, on what he's promised, and to trust him. That's all I've got, just two things. I don't think it's more difficult than that. It's not difficult to understand, it's just difficult to do. Am I learning to be content in Jesus? And then the last thing, he says, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. This is the thing. I talked about, when we were sharing our update, I talked about going from these droughts where there's no water and there's no electricity because everything's hydroelectric. So now, like, we've been joking that, like, we prayed for rain and, like, God has a sense of humor and he answered and now everything's flooded. So, like, but life's like that sometimes. You go from one extreme to the other and then you were, like, complaining because you didn't have enough and then now you're complaining because you have too much. And Paul's saying, look, I've learned to be content whatever my circumstances may be. And so the question that comes to my mind with this, what are the circumstances that most challenge my ability to be content in Jesus? What are those things? There's this verse here that we talk about all of the time that people, I mean, it's like bumper stickers. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. what he's talking about here is not, I want to do this thing, so I'm going to do this thing and then put Jesus' stamp on it and he's going to bless it. That's not what this is talking about. That's not what that verse says. When I'm poor, when I'm rich, when I have a lot, when I have a little, when I'm hungry, when I'm filled, whatever my circumstances may be, I can get through that with Jesus because he is the one who strengthens me. That's what the core, the heart of that verse is saying. I can do all things. I can walk through all circumstances. I can experience plenty, abundance, scarcity. And I can do that because he's with me. That's why I can do it. That's what it means that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So this is the thing. What are those circumstances for us that take us and just like throw all of our contentment out of the window? Sometimes it doesn't even take that much. Just confession time. For me, like I can be trying to follow Jesus, my eyes are on him, and then like somebody cuts me off in traffic and it just like it's right out the window. It's the dumbest thing. You know, like you go to a restaurant and you're like, I don't want mayonnaise on the sandwich. And they put mayonnaise on the sandwich and you're just like, my whole day is ruined. You know what I mean? Like we are so easily derailed by the enemy. And we have this God that left heaven for sinners, for people that scripture says we were his enemies. We were dead in our sins and our transgressions. And he left the glory of heaven and he came down and he lived in all of the mess and the ugliness that we live in. And he did it, that simple verse that you mentioned, for love. That's why God gave he loved the world so much that he gave his son to live in all of this mess that we live in so that any one of us that believes in him wouldn't perish, but would have eternal life. That's the thing that he did for us. And he continues to be there interceding for us when we don't even know how to pray. His Holy Spirit is praying for us. That's what Romans 8 tells us. We have so much to be thankful for. So much that he's done for us. And yet, like, I wait 45 minutes at the doctor's office. It's like, this is terrible. It derails life. And so how fleeting is our contentment? How quick are we to say, oh, I need you, every hour I need you, and then this happens and it's just all out the window. I mean, like we laugh because we know it's true, but it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. I should be able to say, truthfully, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say it is well with my soul. Yes. Contentment is something that the Lord wants in us. Something that we have to learn in every circumstance. And so that's the question that I'll end with. I don't know what y'all have been talking about, learning about together. This could be completely, you know, outside of whatever. But this is just something that God has been dealing with me on. Am I content in Jesus? Is he enough? Am I satisfied with him? Am I learning? Am I growing in that contentment? Learning to be content in him because he's good. And because his promises, he always keeps his promises. Or is it just like every little thing that happens in my life, my eyes are off of Jesus? May he teach us to fix our eyes on him, to learn that he really is enough, not just because we sing that, but because he really is enough. May we as a people of God learn to be content in Jesus. He's enough.
Yeah, for a second.
Okay, yeah.
Well, to answer your question, what we've been in teaching wise, we've been in the book of Job. Okay. So, chapter by chapter. So perfect message. Great. And if you don't mind, can I post it on our podcast and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. Amanda, you don't come up here. Shira. We're gonna pray a prayer of protection over you guys. And against that spirit of fear that's trying to suffocate you, if you will. I have, for some reason, you're highlighted. Can you pray it over them, Pee-wee? Pee-wee's one of our elders.
Yeah, I know, Pee-wee.
So I'm going to say a couple things after this, but why don't y'all stand and lift, put your hands out, and we're going to pray over Will and Amanda for this next season of their lives. Wasn't that such an on-time word?
Yeah.
So good.
I knew I was supposed to pray for him. So just to, before I do that, I just want to paint a little picture that God has destiny on each person in here. And the thing is with this guy here, I can state from living in the world, my brother was probably one of the biggest dope dealers in the Southeast. And he knew his dad. I knew his dad. Too tall, Bill Eason. And the funny thing is I remember them as they were kids, and they lived in a trailer not far from me. And it's funny how when God's got destiny on your life, that no matter what, it's like the enemy tries to take you down before. And the crazy thing is, like, every time I've ever seen this guy, even when he was young, he's always smiling. I've never seen him mad or anything.
Oh, that happens.
And so, but I just want to say that is because is what you're feeling right now is what's been wanting to cancel what's been on your life. And there's something here that I was back in 22 talking about sheep never lead to the shepherd. The land, the territory is the provision. To cultivate the purpose of the sheep and the shepherds. Loneliness was never the design for the shepherd, the sheep, or the land. Provision lies in all creation. Perfect order for God's design is the end result of each vessel. Knowing who we are and the seat of knowing we truly belong. And from this seat is the fuel that drives all creation into its design purpose. Increasing our faith so we can speak life into all. God working the shepherds, shepherds working the sheep, and the sheep working the land. This is a revolving cycle. God's intent was for man to subdue the land and get himself into this earth through the function of what difference between the law and the spirit of the land, of the law. So I just want to really speak that, because the thing is you're called to that land to change it. You're the change agent. And the thing is God's setting you up. You've been faithful so far. But God has a new plan for you, and there's new strategies, and there's a apostolic positioning that you're having, a leadership. You're going to begin to lead the Ecuadorian nation into a godly design. It's much more than what you were set there before. This new thing is a much greater call. And I feel like you come here tonight and you're going to go back with that authority on your shoulders. And the fear that has been trying to hold you back, you will see beyond it. So we're going to pray right now. Father God, we just pray right now that every bit of fear the enemy has tried to place on them, that they see beyond it, because they see the greater work that you have placed on their life, God. God, we rebuke the lie of the enemy right now, God. God, we just send them forth right now in the name of Jesus, that the land will begin to bow their knee to you, Jesus. God, I pray that every bit of provision is beginning to be unlocked right now in the heavenlies. God, I pray that every door that has been closed begins to open up. I pray that governmental authority begins to shift in that nation right now, God. God, I pray that the drug lords and those, they will begin to bow their knee to the name of Jesus. God, we claim that area, Ecuador, for your goodness, God. God, we just speak blessings over them. I speak protection over their kids. God, I pray that their kids begin to dream dreams and they begin to prophesy, God. God, I pray that as they begin to do that, the nations begin to see you in a new way. So, God, we just lift them up. God, I just thank you for who they are, their obedience so far. And God, I just pray that you, as they begin to walk in, they walk in a newness, in a weight that is unbelievable, but God, it's so light. So God, we just thank you for them, and we just honor you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that he's pleased with what you're doing, and he says, thank you. And I saw oil being poured over your head, and I saw the oil running down. And he said that he's giving you strength and courage for the new assignment. And he said you're going to walk in the new assignment. And it's the same thing that he was saying, the new assignment. He said he's prepared you for the new assignment, and there's much for you to do. And to whom much is given, much is required. Also, the young man that graduated from high school, I saw him in a priestly robe. And God said there's a great calling on his life. So the priestly calling. Okay, in Jesus'
name. Hey, guys. When we close tonight, they're going to have a table out there. Feel free to visit them and talk with them. And I want y'all to know, you know, we sow into this ministry. But if you feel like you want to sow something separate, specific into them, I invite you to do that with them, and they'll kind of give you the ways to do that. It's been a great night tonight, hasn't it? So good. I do want to share one thing if y'all want to. Yeah. I don't need that. I just need my Bible. Before we close, y'all can keep standing if you want. This one really quick, I promise. So good. I was reading the scripture right before I turned them loose, and which is so cool. It's basically a setup for my message. I was going to preach a message called "Your Wisdom Ain't That Wise," talking about being content in the Lord. So, so good. In John chapter 1, it says this, and starting in verse 35, this is after the baptism of Jesus. It says, "The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. And as Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, 'Look, there is the Lamb of God.' And when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. 'What do you want?' he asked them. And they replied, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come and see,' he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and there they remained with him the rest of the day." I feel like the Lord is calling us to this moment where we're recognizing the Lord. Where we're seeking, where are you at, God? Where do you want us to go? And the response of the Lord tonight is, come and see. So I just speak that tonight, that we're entering into a new day. Come and see something where I'm dwelling that the region hasn't gone to yet, that the church hasn't entered into yet for this area. He says, come and see. How many of you want to walk into that? How many of you want to go into that call of Lord, wherever you want, we want to just remain with you. Amen.